Welcome to Afros in the Diaspora. My name is Sarah. I am your host, and together we will vent, rant, laugh, and cry as we discuss the highs and lows of being an immigrant. Stay tuned for stories that will inspire, inform, entertain, and give hope. This is Afros in the Diaspora. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora. And today we have Idris Lawal. He's an incredible Afrobeat musician here in Canada, North America, doing his thing. Welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the intro. Appreciate you.
Yes. Happy to share space with you as well. Like, this virtual world that we're in will not embarrass us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to start as usual with some icebreakers and trivia from your motherland. Idris, okay. You're Nigerian.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So are you ready?
For... Yes. I haven't been back home in a while, also. Let me just have it.
So what? Did they not teach you your let me go. Okay. Are you ready? Okay, About to start. Okay.
Yeah.
Look at me, like, yeah, you're me, like, I'm really...
The anticipation is building. My heart's like, goo-goo.
Okay, so who is on the 10 Naira notes?
Namdi Azikwe? No?
Ooh.
Okay, not a good start. That one I didn't prepare for.
No. And I'm, okay. Do you want to try again?
10 Naira? Or you said $10?
Look at your
10
face.
Naira.
Look at this one. I was talking about 10 Naira. Whose
oh
face
my
is
God.
On the 10
oh.
Naira notes?
Rough start. Okay, I don't know this one. Wow.
Albany Koku.
Okay.
Do you want to give another try for what note Namdi Azikwe is on?
No, next question. Let me not embarrass myself any further.
It's all good.
Tough start.
No.
You know me, I'm an independent artist. Don't see money often, so I don't know who's on the mail.
That level of self-diss, I'm not seeing in a while.
Yeah, 10 Naira, I don't know.
Okay. Who was the first and only Prime Minister of Nigeria?
Yes.
Should I give you options? I have four options for you.
Yes, give me options. Yes, multiple choice.
Yes, multiple choice, yes.
Yes.
We have Abubakar Tafawa Balewa, Ahmadu Bello, Namdi Azikwe, and Yakubu Gowon.
So you're Tafawa Balewa.
Yeah.
Alaji Tafawa Balewa.
Clap for yourself.
Woo! Okay.
You're back.
I'm back. Let's keep the momentum.
What are the two major religions in Nigeria?
Islam and Christianity.
Yes. Let me shake you. Small with this one. Who composed the Nigerian national anthem? One options?
Wow, as a Nigerian and as a musician, I'm terribly... I can sing it though. I can even play it on piano, but who asked me who composed it? I don't know.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, give me options.
Okay.
Yeah.
A, Taiwo Akinkunmi. B, Ben Odiase. C, Lillian John Williams. D, Flora Shaw.
It's Ben Odiase.
Yeah!
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
But he goes by a different name.
Oh, what's the different name he goes by?
I think it was like Pa Odiase or something like that.
I don't know. Maybe. That's his Pa.
Papa. Yeah. Okay. Two out of three.
Okay. Well, Nigeria is intersected by which two major rivers?
Atlantic? Is that right?
What'd you say?
Atlantic?
Is Atlantic a river?
Oh, you said river.
Yeah. The two main rivers in Nigeria. Should I give you one, then you guess the other?
Yes. Give me one.
River Niger and River...
Delta?
No. Niger Delta? Was that what you
said? My mind just
You just went straight for Niger Delta. No, River Niger, River Benue.
River Benue, yeah.
Okay,
listen. 2 out of 4. Okay.
2 out of 4, that's not bad. Not no, I think it was 3 out of, right? 3 out of the total?
Yeah, okay.
Who's keeping score? No one is keeping score.
I believe that people don't come.
All right, you're good. Let's try, like, I'll do maybe 3 riddles. Very simple, you got this, okay?
Okay.
What word becomes shorter when you add 2 letters to it?
What word becomes shorter when you add 2 letters?
Yeah. I'm sorry that I laughed. It's the answer is funny.
What word becomes short? Oh, short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. What gave it away?
I don't know, but well, the laugh. I was like, okay, the answer is, I don't know, I need to overthink it, because overthinking is what would do me. Yeah. And then, funny, when I go to work, the coffee store that's near my work, they have a riddle every day. And if you get a, I think you get like a 20% discount of the riddle. So my brain has been doing riddles.
Lately, often. You've been trying to save that buck.
Like I said, dependent time.
Stop. Okay. What has 4 eyes but can't see?
What has 4 eyes but can't see? Mississippi?
Yeah! Oh my gosh! Yeah? Look at okay. you! Look at you! Good job!
See? Good with words. That's one thing.
You're a lyricist, so...
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you this final one. You'll probably also get it.
Let's start with this.
It'll be awesome. All right. So, take away my first letter, and I still sound the same. Take away my last letter, and I still sound the same. If you take away the letter in the middle, I still sound the same. I am a 5-letter word. What am I?
Is it empty?
Well, I'm going to go and look for...
No. That one has been trending on Twitter where it's like, it's empty, and then they take away one letter, and it's empty. Anyway, Sha.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, like, this one is null and void. I'm going to go and look for it now for you.
No. When you clip it, make sure you clip just those 3 parts that I went back to back to back.
Yeah, you're redeeming yourself for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, what has 1 eye but cannot see?
One eye but cannot see? Mm-hmm. The alphabet?
No, I-E-Y-E.
Oh my god.
Going.
Get past.
Needle.
Oh my god. Wow. I see what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Needle. Okay.
But this was awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. 3 out of 4. This game. Is that a record or?
Yes. Let's say it's a record.
Okay.
Let's say it's a record. But yeah, this is really cool. Okay, let's talk a bit more about your story. Like, can you talk us through your immigration story? Like, how you ended up, because you were born in Nigeria. So tell us just the story of how you moved here, relocated. Whether it was by yourself, your family, or what the process was like.
I was fortunate enough to, for my parents to have kind of done this earlier, so I was a kid. Anyway, I was in Nigeria until I was 10, 11, and then we relocated to Doha, Qatar, through my dad's job. He worked for a company as an accountant, and they had other branches globally. So, you know, he would just find an opportunity, go through the process of applying, and eventually get the job. He would move for a year before us, get settled, and then we'd go join him. And, you know, we did this 3 times. First to Qatar, and then I moved to South Africa when I was around 16. And then I moved to Canada for university. So while we were in, when I finished high school, obviously started applying for university across the world. But at the same time, while I was in high school, my parents, and it's just, you know, thank God for their planning, but also thank God for, like, making everything kind of, like, align. Mm-hmm. But they also applied for a permanent residency. And the year I got accepted into university, we also got our permanent residency approved. So the timing just worked out. Thank God. And then I moved to Ottawa for university, and then Toronto, and then now I'm in Calgary.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, yes. Happy. I mean, you know, we haven't landed. We landed here first, and then I went to Ottawa and stuff, but happy to be back.
Well, welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
So what was, because you lived in a few different places, what was the journey then? Because, you know, like I introduced you earlier, you're a musician, you are an Afrobeat artist based here in North America. What was your introduction to Afrobeat? I know that's like a weird question to ask like a Nigerian, because like, it's literally, but I mean, growing up, it wasn't really called Afrobeat, but it essentially was. And over time, as it evolved, the style and everything, and you know, it got a name, and people started calling it Afrobeats. And but how, what was your introduction to the music scene and to Afrobeats as a, just you know, your journey into music?
For sure, yeah. And like as it stands today, I mean, you know, like Afrobeats comes from Afrobeat. And that was founded by Fela Kuti. And, you know, that, like, we all grew up listening to Fela, obviously. So, and then I would say, like, definitely as I moved around growing up, obviously you couldn't get access to it. This was before Facebook, Twitter, hard to get access to, like, Nigerian music. So my, I'd say, like, I want to go back and start with my actual introduction into music itself in general first, because it's kind of like a journey. But my introduction into music, funny enough, came while I was living in Qatar, which is a Middle Eastern country. And but for me, it was just being a black person in there. And it was around the same time that, you know, I would say hip-hop culture was really starting to become popular through, you know, like G-Unit and those guys. You know, I was wearing like 3XL t-shirts, baggy pants. But I think it was just me trying to find my identity as a black person, and obviously just just taking in pop culture, taking in the music. So I fell in love with, I'd say, hip-hop music, and I really started out as a writer, spoken word artist, but also, like, a true, true lyricist, like a rapper. And then, and then, you know, like, as I grew up and I moved around, I kept focused, I kept doing hip-hop music. I'd say it was around 2019 or so, 2020, which was, as you grow older, you kind of, and I think a lot of Africans do this, they try to refine themselves or reconnect with their African roots or African culture. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it also, and it's like alignment again, it was around the same time Afrobeat started getting global recognition. So not only was I like searching for Afrobeats and trying to reconnect, but Afrobeats is also connecting to the world as well. So naturally, I think my music just like I started listening to more Afrobeats. It took me back to, you know, my roots and, you know, my culture. But then as a musician too, I'd say a lot of musicians get influenced by what they take, what they listen to. And naturally, honestly, my music just gravitated naturally into Afrobeats. You know, lyricists and rap became, you know, melody and vibes and stuff like that. But definitely, I think like my music, like words wise, it's still very much hip hop lyrics focused, but I found a way to turn that and make it, put it in my own African dialect, I guess, for lack of better words.
Yeah, just find like a way to infuse hip hop with Afrobeats, and that just became your, you know, medium of expression.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, which
is really cool. And I call it like, I call it Giddy Bop. Because I know I'm not making true Afrobeats, and I want to be respectful to that. I'm also, sometimes as a Nigerian artist, or even as an Afrobeats artist, I'm not in the diaspora, like, Afro's in the diaspora, but I'm not in the African diaspora right now as well, so.
Yeah, so, like, you're not in Africa.
I'm not in Africa, so right. I'm not trying to, and a lot, you know, like, you have to be very intentional, and I don't want to claim Afrobeats just because it's a, it's trending right now, you know, so I'm trying to be very intentional as well. So, I mean, I recognize the Afrobeat influence, but I wanted to like, and I know my music is just different, so I wanted to find a unique way to describe my music. So I call it Giddy Bop.
Giddy Bop.
Giddy Bop, yeah. It's Giddy, which is, my most recent EP was Giddy Water, which is obviously short for Last Giddy.
Right.
And then obviously Bop. So
you have to define bop for us.
Bop is, you know, that swag, that bop, the bop is the vibes. It's a bop.
Lagos vibes, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cool. But it's also honestly, like, I think it's just like, I love music and I love all kinds of music. And I think I incorporate all forms of music into my music as well. And it just allows me to call it something without having to say I'm a rapper or I make rap music or I make about music. I have a country song demo. I have a rock song demo that I've been demoed. So I've tapped into creating other genres as well. So it just allows me to play across other genres all under like one umbrella, I guess.
Yeah. Because all those, your style within all those genres are still very much influenced by Afropop, but they're not Afrobeats.
Afrobeats, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, I
used to call it Afro Bop. Actually, that's what I started calling it in 2020 when I released my first project, and I called it Afro Bop.
Right.
But then, honestly, I saw some people, I'm not gonna name names, but some people started also claiming Afro Bop and the genre, and it was just like, I think, like I work in marketing too, and it was like, it became like when I searched Afro Bop, it wasn't a term I could own, and it's like my own content would actually get lost into. There were now events called Afrobop. There were other artists saying they make Afrobop music. So I also wanted to find something that if you search for it, you could like easily find my music as well.
Okay. So you're telling me now if I search for Giddy Bop.
If you search for Giddy Bop on like Instagram.
On Instagram.
It's definitely going to be my music. Like I don't think anyone else uses it. No one else uses it though.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. You're like, this is mine.
This is mine, yeah.
Don't you dare.
You know what? Like after this, I'm probably going to go copyright that.
I mean, do it. Yeah. But that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that and like your journey. Because it's so interesting. Like, and this is something I hear from a lot of people, especially folks that moved from very young, like the early 2000s, out of Africa, finding that journey of finding identity, because you look around there like, well, there are not a lot of people that look at like me from here. Who am I? Where am I from? And that journey to like, you know, self-awareness and identity kind of begins. And the North American Black aesthetic or Black identity seems to be the loudest
one.
So it's what people really like start to look
towards.
For now.
Yeah, I think hip hop culture was pop culture, and hip hop is very much Black American culture.
Yeah,
but I think Afrobeats is I think Afrobeats is starting to become pop culture globally, which is a beautiful thing too. So I think Nigerians are becoming the loudest.
Yeah, I mean, West Africans, Africans in general. And it's helpful too with folks like trying to find their way back, right?
Yeah.
Literally, like, because we're all from the continent, like, you know, and so especially with Ancestry.com and all those things becoming more and more prevalent. And you just see people that, did you know I'm 40% Nigerian? And this is a person you will look at and are looking at them, you would not expect. That and then you just I get such information from folks and I'm like, oh really? And you know, yeah, and then there's the Afrobeats. Did you know Wizkid? Did you know Burna Boy? I'm like, yeah, I know these guys. It's just so interesting like how you're right, like it's becoming a worldwide, I mean it is, you know, it's only becoming bigger and louder, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So next, how, because you are a Nigerian man from a Nigerian family, so I need you to just talk about what that process was when you told your parents that I would like to be a musician. Like, what was that process? What was that journey like? Were they like, oh yes, my son, you have my blessings? Or were they like, my friend, will you go and pick up your mathematics textbook? Like, what was the vibe?
You know, I don't think I ever outwardly had that discussion with my parents and said, I want to like be a musician. I think I just started doing it. And for them, it was like, as long as you have a job and you're paying your bills. And so, you know, I've always had the 9-to-5, and, you know, and also at the same time doing music as well. So I think for them, it was always, as long as you have a job. As long as you have a job. But I mean, I definitely know when I started, it was there was an unspoken like, not disagreement, but caution, I guess, is the right word for it. And, you know, there's also, like, there's a lot of reasons for that, just from us being Nigerian. It's like, go be an accountant, which I think is changing now. Everyone wants Project Mbappe now. Everyone wants Project Osimhen now. So, but that was the vibe. And then also, I think there's also, like, especially in, like, as a Nigerian, there's a bit of a pressure on, like, I'm the firstborn. There's a bit of a pressure on being the firstborn as well. And it's like, you have to be a good example for your siblings as well. And I always wanted to do it. And it's not like, I don't feel bad about it. I think it made me better. And I love that, you know, I love being able to, like, influence and be a good example for my siblings as well. So I think for that, that's why I also kept the 9-to-5. But it's gotten to a point now where I think my parents see that, one, thank God, I say the more you do something, the better you get at it. And they see that it's not just, I'm not doing music just to do it. It's actually like I love it. And I love consuming it. I love creating it. And, you know, like, it's my dad has said, like, we can tell when you don't make music for a while, you're not happy. So I think they've just accepted it. And they've accepted that I'm a musician as a person. But if I today, if I was like, okay, I'm going to quit my job and do music full time, I'm sure it's like, World War III for sure. you know, so but I'm happy for like, in some ways it always pushed me to just to be a better person, and I will say that, like, you know, the 9-to-5 pays for the music, so it all worked out.
Yeah, don't we know it. And like, yeah, that's the balance, especially like as a newer artist, where as you know, grow your career and you're putting yourself out there, like, I mean, some people just jump out in the deep end.
And for sure.
Amazing and wonderful for folks that are able to do that. But I think that there's so many factors. And yeah, shout out to parents, because they really, truly, like, have no ill intentions. They just want to make sure you're going to be
good. Exactly. Like, yeah,
you know, you're going, their child is going to be able to live a life where they're comfortable. You're not going to be homeless or, you know, begging for food, or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, good parents don't want that for you, right? So, like, the concern is always, always from a really, really good place.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're like, well, it's kind of sort of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and just finding the balance between, like, honoring them, I guess, and still, like, living out your life, you know, and fulfilling your own purpose.
Fulfilling your own purpose, exactly, yeah. I mean, I think every job is a purpose, but some, like, I'd say, and maybe I might be biased, but music is not, like, it's more than just a job, you know? It's, like, if anyone would create art, I mean, like, when you, like, as in your art as well, it's, like, it's a part of you, you know? So it's tough, like, telling someone, like, I always joke and say, you know, you don't ask Superman not to fly. So, it's like, if, and it's like, I'm also, like, Muslim, so there's that religious aspect as well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and this might be blasphemy, but I've said it, it's like, this skill and talent is God-given. So it's like,
exactly,
if I wasn't supposed to do it, why can I do it, you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, 100%. And, I mean, Superman had a day job.
Yeah, exactly. Truth.
Clark Kent with the sunglasses and the
sunglasses
shirt.
Yeah,
and then no one knew who he was.
Honestly, comic book logic is crazy. I'm a big comic book nerd. DC, Marvel,
okay,
all of them. But yeah, yeah. No, definitely the caution as a young person, mm-hmm, going into that is definitely needed. And I mean, like, I think about certain situations as I've grown up, especially, mm-hmm, when I first moved to Canada and meeting certain people, and, you know, like, almost like for the love of music, almost falling into the wrong crowds. And now looking back at how, for some reason, like, there's been times where it was like my parents just being like, I'm telling them about, oh, I met this cool person, and, you know, they want to, like, help me in my music and stuff. And when I tell them about that person, they just, like, they have a bad feeling about it. And, you know, I listen to my parents, so mm-hmm, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll maybe distance myself. And then later on, I see that, yes, something bad did happen, and I could have been caught up in that. So, yeah. I'd like, there's definitely been situations where I'm like, okay, thank God that either I showed caution because of what I've been taught, or
right,
someone else forced that caution onto me.
Onto
but
you, yeah,
it's tough as a young person. But yeah, no.
Yeah, and I've heard, again, I've heard. We just, I'm not really calling out any particular situation. I'm just saying that, like, I've heard, and people have come on social media too as well to kind of like talk about the music industry, and I know, again, like, it's, you're emerging, you're growing, and as you grow, the bigger you get, the more you see things with your eyes.
Exactly. You know, there's so much we don't know.
There's so much you don't know until you know, and then you're like, why do I know this?
Why
like,
do I know this? Yeah, how do I unlearn this?
How do I unlearn this? How can I control Z? Like,
Control Z, for real.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Can you talk about your experience? As a person making music inspired by Afrobeats, just even as a Black man in the world, like, you moved here, and I'm sure you had your own culture shocks and, you know, things that kind of helped form you as a person.
Yeah.
What would you say, or how would you say that being a Black person in Canada or in North America has influenced your identity?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, wow.
So that's a good question, right?
Great question, yeah.
I'm like, does it? Yeah, okay, perfect, awesome.
I think one is, like you said, like, American culture is so loud, and I feel like, for example, when I moved here, there was a choice to go to here or move to the States, and I don't know, like, I may be wrong, but I feel like if I was, like, for example, in the States, I think I would have much quickly assimilated into adopting the American hip-hop culture. I feel like being in Canada to some degree has let me be African, and that makes sense, or be Nigerian. Mm-hmm. Well, also much earlier than, like, I think now it's easier, especially as Afrobeats becomes more global, mm-hmm. it's easier to adopt that identity. But, I mean, I know friends in the States, for example, who almost hid their identity as a Nigerian or as an African, and try to adopt the American Black culture. So I think that's one thing. It allowed me to really truly be myself and be African and be Canadian. And I think that's almost speak to the diversity. You know, you go to events and you'd have, like, especially when I was living in Toronto, you'd have the Indian people there showing up in their, like, you know, the Indian girls are showing up in their saris, the men are showing up in their outfits. You have the Nigerians, the Africans all showing up. You know, I've been to events where you have a Scottish guy showing up in a kilt. So I think that diversity and acceptance of your culture allowed me to be, allowed me to find myself as an Afrobeat, or as a, just identify myself and represent myself properly. There have been some negative experiences, not negative experiences, but I don't know if it's just a Canadian thing or a global thing, but I find that, like, as a Black artist, especially as a Black independent artist, I get a lot of opportunities around February, Black History Month, and a lot of people messaging me. And, you know, like, my first ever project was called Young Black and Blue, and this was in 2020, and it was around the time of, you know, at the height of the Black Lives Matter movement. Also, the NSARS movement was kind of around that time as well. And I'm not gonna lie, like, I got a lot of opportunities, which was very, very cool. But as the year tapers off, those people, there's less emails answered, less opportunities, less offered. And then January comes in, and then those emails start rolling in as well again. So there's been that. Also, Canadians are very stereotypically nice, and there's a silent conservativeness here. So, for example, I've had songs where I had a song called Wallflowers, where it's an ode to kids who fell victim to police brutality, George Floyd, you know, Breonna Taylor, all of that. And I mentioned names, and in Black History Month, for example, and this is, I'm not going to name the actual station, but I got featured by a radio station, and then they heard the song, and they heard the song. I don't know if they heard the song before they asked me if they featured me, or they just featured me because other people were, I was in the media, but then they featured me and they wanted to premiere a song, and then they heard the song and they were like, oh, it's a Sunday morning, that song is too heavy for the people that are listening. And it was just a very weird conversation. So I think that's the subtle, it's not racism, like, I don't want to just throw out the R word, but it's definitely, like, conservativeness or ignorance, or unconscious bias, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I think those are two ways. It's like, one, it's the good thing, it's allowed me to, like, just, it allowed me to truly be confident, especially earlier in my life. I'm not that old, but as you know, as a 20-year-old trying growing older, it allowed me to be confident in identifying as a Nigerian and as an African. But on the negative side, there's still a subtle conservativeness that affects the opportunities you get or the expectations that people have. And then also, Canada is huge. And so from Toronto to Calgary is 4 hours, for example. So that connection, there's so many beautiful Black, talented people here. And then there's so many beautiful Black talented people in other regions as well. But we don't connect often, and there's that exchange of information. I mean, there's African identity is one thing, but the Canadian, you have to accept that the Canadian African identity and experience is different from just being an African, from just being a Black American. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in Canada, that identity is not always shared as well as it could because travel isn't as convenient, but hopefully that's getting better. I think that's getting better. When I first moved here, flights from Toronto to Calgary were $1,000, but now they're if you book it early enough, $400 or $500. So it's getting better.
Getting better. Not just in ticket prices. Not just in the prices.
Yeah.
But yeah, you made a few great points.
I rambled.
That's completely fine. That's what we're here for, hear you and hear your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And during February, the Black History Month, you're not the only one, and it's not in your head. This is a thing where Black artists, Black creatives, spoken word artists, musicians, stories get to be told and get a stage on that one month.
Yeah.
Where people are booked, which is absolutely amazing, as they should be, right? But I see after that Black History Month, they're it kind of almost feels you know what? We did our part,
yeah.
We've done it 1 month. Okay, yeah. So now for the remaining 11 months, I'm still an artist. I still do this the rest of the year. You know, what happens next? And those opportunities sometimes really, really are just super hyper-focused on that month. Oh, let's do the thing. We got to do it. Oh, if we don't do it, then there's you start to get that sense. And then Black History Month ends, and then it's wow.
Crazy. Yeah. Now, hi, everyone. Yeah, it's representation for representation purposes, but.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of unfortunate, but, at the end of the day, humans are, we're grateful for the opportunities that we do get, hoping that we get more and trying to make it happen for ourselves, too, right?
The organizations too. I think just in Canada, there's a lot of things like festivals and things that are in Toronto, Ottawa, there was mm-hmm. Folk Fest, and that was just historically a folk festival, folk music festival.
Right.
Stampede here in Calgary was historically just focused on country music. But last year,
right.
I heard last year they had an Afrobeats artist. I wasn't here yet. But
I think that was Adekunle Gold.
Adekunle Gold, it's Stampede having Adekunle Gold blows my mind,
Right.
Folk Fest was where I first saw Kendrick Lamar at Folk Fest. The first time I saw Snoop Dogg was at Rock Fest. So all these, those historic festivals and opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think just people are opening up, and those opportunities are opening up hopefully beyond February. And I think it's not just the music getting that global recognition. I think it's also just there are more Black people in those spaces making those decisions as well.
Yeah.
You have I know a few Black people working with Stampede as well. So mm-hmm. Representation across all levels, mm-hmm. people making decisions helps us get those opportunities year round as well. This is just one for 1 month.
Yeah, 100%. And that's very, very well said. And it's more than just having Black artists come and perform, having people of color, not just Black people, there are, all sorts of, minorities, people from all over the world that...
Yeah, exactly.
Here in Canada.
Exactly.
But specifically, because we're talking about Black History Month, just having Black people or people of color, other minorities in... having other minorities in positions of power where they get to influence and they get to make choices and decisions, and just kind of break through the status quo of having only, you know, white folks perform, or only white, you know, and white stories are opportunities for white folks. And like, well, there's a whole spectrum of other people.
Yeah.
That, you know, that deserve opportunities that are also good that you know, can, if only given the opportunity, they will,
the sound technician, a catering company.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's so many places where, like, there should be diversity everywhere,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
So I've been to, like, I've been at a shoot where the first shoot I ever had makeup done, and, like, I was like, okay, cool. I see, like, I was like acting different after the makeup.
I
like, and it was just, like, light touch, too, and I was just like, oh, wait, what? You know, but anyway, that wasn't the point. The point was that it took a while, even though it was just a light touch, the whole crew, there was not one person that looked like me. So it was like, you're supposed to get a barber and get a haircut right before, but I was like, no, this person's not touching my hair, you know, like, they wouldn't know. So there's little things that just, anyway, I don't want to, like, ramble and take this on a negative spin.
No, I mean, like, we're talking about what the reality is.
Yeah.
Like, 100% we're trying to, like, spread positivity, 100,000%.
Yes.
But we also cannot, like, ignore the reality.
Yeah.
I think that we can absolutely, like, talk about the reality of what's around us. And still be hopeful for even better, and celebrate the things that are, you know, happening right now.
Changing and happening,
you know,
for
that
sure.
Are changing. Yeah. Exactly. So I think it's possible to do all of that at the same time. Now, let us talk about your discography. Let's talk about some music that you've put out there. Let's talk about
cool.
Because I believe that every song or every album builds on the next.
Yes.
Builds on the previous. How's the saying?
Builds on the previous.
Yeah.
That
new work, your new work builds on the last one that you did, and just keeps on building from there. That was a brain glitch.
You got there.
we arrived there at the end of the day. But yeah, no, would you be able to talk us through it? You mentioned Young, Black, and Blue, which was
your first album. Yeah, that was my first album EP. It was a 7-song project. It was at this point, I'd always been like a writer, but I'd never actually dabbled much in recording professionally, but I also hadn't dabbled in producing as well. But I was blessed to produce 5 out of 7 of those songs. And I would say that was around the time I was, like, truly my hip-hop self was finding my Afrobeat self. And I think that's evident in the music. It's very much hip-hop-focused performances. But then there's a underbed, or there's, like, it's on a bed of, like, Afrobeat elements. And that was it was a cool introduction into my music. So it was Young, Black, and Blue, very much my world experience as a Black man, but also just my view into what it was like for what the Black experience was globally as well. And, you know, it was partly everything was going on in the world. I was making music as well. And, you know, as an artist, you just represent the time, I think. So I released that in June 2020. And then I released my first single after that EP. It was called Wallflowers. This was, like I said earlier, it was a dedication to people who fell victim to police brutality. First of all, before I jump into that, double back and say shout out to a few people who helped me on Young, Black, and Blue. I had my friend Sydney, who was a singer, and my friend Jelani was a saxophonist, and they were very much like my second and third voices on that project, so you hear them across the entire project. The other two producers on the other two songs, Antoine and Q, who also mastered the work as well. Just a quick shout out to them. Wallflowers was my next single, and that was very much that was like a growth for me because first of all, the song was dedicated to victims of police brutality, but the music video, I think it was the first time I truly wanted to the music video to represent the lyrics. And I think I'm becoming more of a visual artist as well, and making sure, like, because I think it goes hand in hand, like, I write lyrics and you're painting pictures, and just having those pictures truly representing versus just being a performer, you know, taking a video where I'm just performing the song and calling that a music video. So Wallflowers was very much, I worked with a friend, Tyra, and, you know, we had very, very visual graphic elements
in that I bled blue, like literally I died in the music video and it was blue blood from Young Black and Blue. So just having those very graphic visual elements just to truly represent the dire situation of what the song is about. My next project was Giddy Water, which I released in 2022. And I think in between, so Young Black and Blue and Wallflowers is 2020, 2021. And in between 2021 and 2022, I truly, truly immersed myself into not just like Afro music, but also there were a lot of events. And this time I was also in Toronto as well. So like events like A Freak Like Me, Caruza, yeah, it was like, you know, my experiences with like going out and partying was you go to a club and you listen to like hip hop music for the most part. But these were events where you go and they're playing Afro house, Afro beats, amapiano. Everyone is wearing like Afrik Like Me as a Halloween event. We are Adbada to the event. And it's like Adbada at the club with like it was a masquerade event. So just a safe space to truly enjoy African music, immerse yourself into it. And, you know, when you're doing that every weekend, again, your music naturally. So that was when I definitely took that step and really started making what I now call Giddy Bop music. But Giddy Water was a little bit more of a different subject. It was themed around love, obviously inspired by personal experiences, but also just...
Who gave you breakfast to eat? Served you breakfast, Idris.
You don't cast. Last time. But yes, it wasn't breakfast. It was Giddy Water.
That's so.
But I don't know. It's like it's hard to like make Afro beats, and like Young Black and Blue was a very deep and personal project, and it actually took a lot out of me. And I think not only I wanted to have a little bit more fun with the music, but also I still wanted to reflect my experiences. And I don't know, like if you listen to like Last, for example, that's a breakup song, you know, but it's so enjoyable and danceable. You go back to like Premier Gao, that's such a like, that's also a breakup song, but it's like such a people are dancing to it.
You're not serving this breakfast to people like this.
No, I'm just saying like the context of the songs may be like sad or whatever, but you're still going to dance to it. And that's what I truly, truly loved about Afro music. I was dancing a lot during this time in my life as well. So I wanted to make music that I could dance to as well.
I've also seen you perform, man.
Dance when I perform.
You dance like, a lot. Like your feet are like happy feet. Yeah, like happy you really feet, get yeah. down to it. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you which know, it, awesome. Doesn't even, it felt natural. It was just like, I'm listening to all this music. And every time I listen to this music, I just can't help dancing.
Yeah.
Like I wanted my music to make me feel that way, so naturally, so Giddy Water was a 4-song EP. It was fully produced by Q, I was a friend in Toronto, shout out to him. And the whole theme was there's a place called Giddy Island, which is like a fictional, in my head it's a fictional magical island where, you know, just all forms of love is accepted, all forms of music is accepted, anything goes kind of. But the whole thing is love is like water from the islands of Giddy. So I'm building this whole, I'd say, world around what I call Giddy Island. And Giddy Water was kind of my first introduction to that. So it was just like, you know, drink the water sometimes. Water is, you know, Fela said, water has no enemy. It heals you, but also it can do the opposite of that, right? So they can drown you. So that was kind of the theme on that project. But it was a very cool project. And then since then, I've been releasing singles, as well as right now I'm focused on visuals. So I released Look What God Made, which was the first single from Giddy Water. I released a visual for that earlier this year. And my goal moving forward is, I think I want to like focus on singles and really work on, as a project, you're not limited, but you're trying to fit this theme. But singles, I think I just want to work on my songwriting. Allowed me to focus on my visual, the visual aspects of my project, but also I think just have fun with the music for a little bit and not try to stick to a concept, be stuck to a concept. So, 2 EPs and a bunch of singles out right now and about 3 music videos, but all as an independent artist, so very proud of that. And, I'll take the help, but... Yeah. I'm like, as a kid, you know, like a lot of people, like all I wanted to do was be able to like make music that I enjoy listening to. And, you know, I can definitely say I'm doing that now. I might not be doing it full time or whatever, but I'm doing that now, so I know, like, I'm definitely making my younger self proud, and
heck yeah,
I'm very happy about that. Yeah,
cheers to that, man. Like, yeah. being someone that your younger self can be like, hey, you know, proud of, and
exactly,
that's
yeah,
just absolutely incredible. Do you see yourself doing it more full time in the future? Slash, it's a 2-part question.
I guess
we'll round up with this, but. Do you see yourself kind of moving towards like doing it full time? Also, how do you manage? How do you manage? Because I can only imagine like music. I mean, I can only imagine because I'm not a, you know, musician formally.
What was the
music name? In my bathroom, I sing a lot, but you know, like it. I can only imagine that the rhythm is in your head, and you know, you could be what like. Working at your office, yes. And then a lyric thing just hops in your mind, and you go, "I gotta write that down." Like, what is that like? Like, how do you combine both? And do you see yourself moving towards a more full time focus on it?
Right. Well, the first question, I'm always writing, and again, that's like the hip hop lyricist background. So it could be I could be at a meeting, and like. A lyric will pop up and it's like, I'm taking notes, but I'm actually writing a quick lyric down. But I mean, I'm very respectful of the places I'm at. So I'm not going to like try to finish a song in that moment. People, I talk about intention, inspiration. And you know, when you get that inspiration, I think it's important to like write it down. But I've also, I truly believe in like intention over inspiration. So I know like some people will like, I know people who don't make music until that inspiration moment comes to them. And, you know, I've also been there as well, but I try to change my mindset and I'm just like, it became a set the intention. And, you know, like a few years ago, I started to practice. I had it on my calendar, 7 p.m., write daily lines or write daily lyrics. And it was just like, even if it's just 4 bars, like the alarm would ring and boom, I'm quickly writing it down. I'm home at this point. And that's like gotten me to a place where it's, if I sit down and say I'm going to write a verse, I know for a fact, like, I don't need to be inspired. The words will come out. It might not be the best words, but at least it got out. So, and I think that's just, like, being intentional about things, but also just setting a habit. It's like, music is, it's art for sure, but, and this kind of dives into the second question. If you truly want to make it something serious and make it a career, it's important to also build good habits around it, especially for those people who also have other careers and you have to build around that as well. It's very important. I'm blessed, like I work in advertising, so I'm blessed to also be in a space where it's a creative environment as well. So that also helped me. I think I changed my mentality a little bit. Like I wake up every day from like, oh, I have to go to work. That used to be me. It's like, oh, I have to go to work. I'd rather just make music or whatever. But now it's like I wake up and it's like, okay, what can I learn at work today that could help me make either my music or my music business a lot better? So, yeah, so that, you know, and 4 or 5 hours of sleep every day, which is not healthy, but, you know, and like, you know, I've definitely had moments where it's like you burn out, you take a little break, and so it's like, that's the other thing. So it's important to like, we're artists, but we're also human beings first. So I just started reminding myself that it's important to like, if you got to take a month off, I used to be like, if I take a month off, I'm going to forget how to write. I'm going to forget how to like sing or whatever. But again, it's just like, it got to a point where it's like, now I know like this is my superpower. So if I take a month off, I can come back into it. And it's just like riding the bike and I get back into it. So that's allowed me to be a better human and just take care of myself a lot better versus everything I was doing was just for the music, and which is not a healthy way to live.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely see it as a career for sure. And I think
it is a career.
And I will definitely be making music, I like honestly, into my 50s, you know?
Okay.
For sure. Because it's like, especially when you grow up with hip hop, like they used to joke and say hip hop is a young man's game. You shouldn't be rapping until you're 36. But I think there was a little bit of a, that's stupid because at the same time you had like, the Paul McCartney's releasing song in their 50s. You had Celine Dion who was still like touring or whatever, but for some reason people were saying, and even there's a little bit of that sentiment in Afrobeats now. It's like, oh, you're old, leave it to the young kids, you know? But if you truly want to see something as a career, you should see it as long term. And I think that's changing as well. Like Jay-Z just released a project 444 at, and he's almost in his 50s as well. We've seen legacy acts, you know, like Sonny Okosu. We've seen like this certain legacy acts. Miriam Makeba, is that Miriam Makeba? Yeah, she's still like touring globally as well. So seeing these artists do this in long term. So yes, I will definitely be making music in long term, but I don't know if I'm going to be doing it, if I'll ever do it full time, because I have other like interests in other projects as well. A little bit of a teaser as well. I've been working on, as I was diving into Afro beats and stuff like that, there's a bit of a project I've been working on that dives into. So I spent like the last 3-4 years just researching like truly like how the history of Nigerian music and how it grew from. I have a timeline that I built, and it's like the 1700s to today, how it started from, you know, Kaiso, which was just a culture in, before Nigeria was even named Nigeria, it was just a culture, and that eventually traveled, influenced like calypso music in the Caribbean islands, even came down to influence like blues, if like ultimately influenced hip-hop as well, ultimately traveled back to Nigeria, influenced, you know, through Caribbean music, influencing palm wine music, influencing highlife music, which ultimately influenced Afrobeat as well. So I have this like crazy timeline in this project, and I think it's like as Afrobeat becomes a becomes a very popular genre and becomes, I think, part of pop culture history, there isn't necessarily like a hub or a domain where you can really go and one place where you can discover the history of the music. And I did that for myself as I was just learning about the culture, but I think it's also, it's a bit of a long-term project and something I want to build around. I don't want to call it an agency, but like a storytelling company as well. And I think that's like because of my marketing background as well. So I don't think I will ever be a full-time musician, but I think I'll be making music and also working on other artistic projects that still revolve around music, but yeah, I'm not necessarily like a musician. But you know, you have plans and God has plans. So whatever God has planned for me, you know, I'm open to it and I'm enjoying the ride and I'm just blessed at the end of the day to be able to do what I love doing. So
yeah. And like, I really appreciate your honesty because there seems to be that like pressure.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it full time, well, are you really?
Are you doing? No.
You know, like, believe that. And I saw this saying that even if you make art as a hobby, you're still an artist. Even if you make art. And even if you take a break from making art for your own mental health or all the and other reasons, you're still an artist.
You're still an artist.
You know, there's no one who gets to say that and define that for you except you. Right. And so it's really incredible that you've also done a lot of like academic work that, you know, artists are not famous for doing.
I'm a researcher by heart too.
To just kind of do the academic work and do the research of like, wait, this is Afrobeats and it's becoming humongous. Where did it start from? And kind of doing that work for yourself to trace down the history. Like, that's hard work, man. That's like deep diving. You know, because not everything's on Wikipedia, right? So, so shout out to you for doing that.
Thank you.
And incredible. I look forward to you rapping in your 50s.
Hey, man. still doing happy feet and footwork.
Yes, do the happy feet, do the footwork, do it all. Like, yes, life is for the living, so let's enjoy it.
Yes.
Right. Amazing. Thank you so much, Idris, for coming on this and sharing your story and answering all my questions.
Yeah, and can I say shout out to you as well? Like, again, like, you know, like, not only are you an artist as well, but you've built this platform that is, you know, amplifying other artists and amplifying our voices as well. So, again, like I said at the beginning, it's a pleasure to share space. And, shout out to you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate that. Okay, before we go,
yes,
we need a word of advice from you, Mr. Idris. Just sprinkle a little bit of wisdom on us.
You know, I already said it, and I'm going to say, do what you do best. And this is one of my favorite quote from Mac Miller, and it's so simple. Shout out to Mac Miller, rest in peace. It's so simple, but I've never heard anything so succinct. And he just said, do what you do best, because that's what you do best. So, and I live with that. I wrote that on a little sticky note, and I have it on my door in my room. And it's like every time I wake up and I'm leaving my room, that's the first thing I read. So yeah, just do what you do best. And you know, consistency. It's not if, it's when. That I totally believe that. So just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And listen to Giddy Water.
Please do let us know where we can find your music, where we can find you on social media.
On all social medias, at Idris, IDRIS, X, the letter X, and then Lawal, that's my last name, Lawal. My name is Idris Lawal. On music is on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Audiomack, everywhere. SoundCloud, everywhere, YouTube, also my website, idrisxlawal.com. Yeah, you know, say hi.
Yeah. And what is your social media? Oh, did you just say that?
Yeah, idrisxlawal. Are you even listening?
I'm listening. I'm so sorry.
I'm joking. No, I'm joking.
I just wanted to make sure because I was kind of spelling it out in my head. Idris XLAWAL. And I'm like,
yes.
Plus your website. Okay, yes. Yes, y'all. XLAWAL. Go listen, go stream. And, you know, people will see announcements of like performances and stuff like that on there.
Yes. Yeah. My next performance is May 24th in Calgary.
Okay.
I will be sharing space with Shadi Awale, who's also a very, very dope Nigerian artist as well. So it's going to be a true Nigerian event. So more to come.
That is awesome. All right. Again, Idris, thank you so much.
This has been
awesome. And to our listeners, thank you for sticking with us through this episode. We'll see you next time.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Afros in the Diaspora. I hope this episode left you feeling inspired and hopeful. To engage, feel free to like, follow, share, and subscribe to Afros in the Diaspora on all social media and podcast platforms. Remember to leave a review and a rating. If you would like to be a guest, please reach out. Send an email to hi@afrosinthediaspora.com. That is hi@afrosinthediaspora.com. Or send us a DM on Instagram @afrosinthediaspora. Remember, there is beauty in our stories and power in our voices. Together, we are stronger. Until next time.